Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I was always just sort of feeling tired. And so I said, maybe this will just help in overall vitality. But in the past couple of years that I've been taking it, I find my energy has been great. I've been sleeping better. I don't get the cravings for junk food as often as I used to. I really attribute it to the product. It's so easy to use. Even if I want to take a capsule from my daughter and I just pull it apart to mix it in some juice or something, it's just something I'm very grateful to be able to incorporate. I really love the product. I think it's made such a difference.
Generally feel better. Generally have better energy and more stamina. Breathing is easier. Walking is easier. You're not in pain anymore, all right? I could go on and on.
When you call, use discount code DJV, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DJV.
I'm Doug Steffen. Many times people who have been listening to me over the years know that I bring into my focus on the air experiences that I have myself. And some of you may remember me talking about taking a trip to Italy last year to a place called Damanhur, which is basically a spiritual university. That's as quickly and tightly as I can describe what goes on there. And during my trip last year, I met a lady whose expertise is in the area of our past lives. Your past lives, if you care to explore them. My past life, which I do care to explore, and her past lives. Not that that's the focus. She is a great teacher, extraordinary personality. We've had some wonderful exchanges in the not only the time that I spent with her in Italy, but this past weekend, I spent a weekend talking about yet another past life experience that I've had with a group of people. And so I thought it would be, for purposes of all of us expanding our minds, certainly that's what your hidden power is all about, thinking about things that are not traditional, that you may not be taught in whatever your religious experience is, or you may not find yourself comfortable thinking about stuff, which to me makes nothing but sense. That is the idea that we have past lives and the connection between what goes on here on our planet and elsewhere in the universe. It just makes too much sense to me. So I want to introduce you to Shama Viola, who is from Turin, Italy. I don't know. Turin is where Damanhur is, but where in Italy, Shama, are you originally from?
Well, originally I am from Ravenna, which is on the other side, is the eastern side of Italy, on the Adriatic Sea, a little bit south of Venice. But right now I live a little bit north of Turin, which is where Damanhur is located.
So, when did you realize that you had this interest or this connection to past lives, your own and others?
Well, I think the curiosity about past lives was always there, and even before going to Damanhur 17 years ago, I was exploring it in a variety of ways, like regressions, hypnotherapy, etc. But when I went to Damanhur, the interest in past lives was very easy to explore, because Damanhur has a very specific modality of doing that, which you have experienced, and it's very conscious. It's not even going to, an altered state, but you are conscious throughout, and it's a way to remember it through feelings, through experiences that are facilitated by someone who guides you into these memories.
Will you explain a little bit more for those who have never heard, prior to me going to Damanhur, even though I have a close friend, someone who has helped me a lot understand things about life that I didn't understand before. She was the person that got me to come to Damanhur last year. I never had heard of it before. So for many people who may not have heard of Damanhur, even though it's becoming more and more well-known not only in Europe but all around the world, what goes on there? What is Damanhur all about?
Okay, well, Damanhur is a community, basically. And it was created 43 years ago by a visionary founder named Falco, Tarasico. It's a community that, with claim to fame, is that it has dug a temple inside a mountain. So a beautiful temple, a large, powerful temple of eight large rooms, very artistically decorated, and it was dug by the citizens of Damanhur inside this mountain.
You know, when I went in there first, I think I don't know if I ever told you this or not. I have been claustrophobic most of my life, and claustrophobia, it's like being afraid of heights or whatever it is. It's all in your head. It has nothing to do with anything that's real. It's just in your head, although it seems real. And the first time I went into the, this is when you go into these catacombs, into the temple, the rooms that are dug into the side of this hill. The first time I went in, I was extraordinarily claustrophobic. And then I sort of, something happened to me as I went in there. And I thought, you know, everybody else is fine. And this has been done by tens of thousands of people over the last 40, 50, 60 years. So why would I be upset? Why is this going to bother me? And so I snapped out of it, and I haven't really been as worried. Did you ever have that feeling in there?
No, never, because I am totally in awe of the fact that when you're there, you forget that you are on the ground. You forget completely, because the spaces are large, the beauty is stunning, and the air circulates beautifully. You forget completely that you're on the ground.
This is Your Hidden Power. I'm Doug Steffen with Shama Viola from Damanhur University in Italy. So we're talking about past lives because she's an expert. She conducts classes not only there but all around the country and around the world, helping people understand what their life is about. So you've taught me about two lives, one in China and one I was a woman in a Central American village, and I was a man, a warrior. I've always been, or at least I shouldn't say always, but in my two lives that I've learned about, I was alone. And I wonder how that helps me understand the fact that I've been alone much of my life in this life, Shama.
Yeah, sometimes the lives do show a pattern, and they're there to make us aware that what we are living now has been influenced by past experiences. And so for us to become aware, so the lives that we explore, really, that is the point. The point is to become aware that we have had experiences in other times, in other cultures, in other moments, in other lives, that these past experiences are still with us. We carry within these memories of other times and other situations. And these experiences create the multidimensionalities of us and influence us. And so we can connect some of the experiences of the present to these ones of the past, and we can do something about it. I'm going to make you an example. There was a life for me in which I was an opera singer. Lear will be my last incarnation. And I died in a concentration camp. And all through this life, my current life, I had a desire to sing. Well, it wasn't really my personal desire of this current life. It was that this personality, this aspect of me that was had been cut short was had the desire to sing. And I was able to heal that because of awareness.
So it is, it's being aware. This is not something that you, however, Shama, do. You interpret the work of a group of people who spend their entire working day, their entire working life, going into the past lives of people who are inquiring. Is that correct?
It's true. There is a group of people where I live that have been doing this work for more than 35 years, and that's their expertise. They are able to allow themselves to see the lives of the people that send in their requests through sending in a photo and their birth data. These people, through divination tools that they are using and the photograph and data that you're sending, are able to see the life of the person emerge from the aura, let's say, of the photograph, and they're able to write it down. It's not that just one person is seeing that. It's that they are working together in a group, and they see the same thing. And as they see it, they write down their whole life. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is facilitate the participant to the course to connect with the life that was seen by these people so that they can find that particular life, which obviously, if it emerged from their data and their photo, it's the life that they need to connect with at the moment because it has a gift for them. It has something important for them to connect with.
Do you think most people come to you with that in mind, that they are looking for a gift? I don't know that I was looking. I didn't know what to expect, frankly, when I went to see
it. Begin with curiosity. They want to know if they had other incarnations. And then they're surprised to find that actually the lives that they are exploring really make sense to them, and really they feel connected to this particular life. It was as if they are remembering that actually they did live a life back then doing that particular thing, etc. So they are amazed, they're surprised, and they like to continue the journey by taking more of the courses that I am offering.
So how often do we come back to this life, and how soon? Is it different for everybody? And how people must ask you all the time, well, how many times have I been here? I don't know that I asked you that, but I'd be curious at some point in time when we
remember
have a conversation.
That there is no time on the other side. Mm-hmm. So what can be for us 1 year or 1,000 years or whatever time, on the other side, it doesn't mean anything. So when we are on the other side and we choose to return, for us, there is no time. So we come back. We can go back, like maybe we die now, and then we find ourselves back 3,000 years ago, because it's not sequential, there is not linear time, and time is a sea of constant present. Everything is happening here now. All that we call past lives are really concurrent lives. It's not easy for our mind to wrap itself around that particular concept.
No, it
but
isn't.
All the lives are simultaneous.
Yeah.
And so our point of consciousness is here now, but it can very easily go back in time or in future lives.
It's so very...
It's intriguing subject.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very intriguing. It's a positive way to find out more about yourself, just another way for you to deal with things that you might not really understand, but they're worth the time. I would tell you that. My experience with you has been well worth the time, and I look forward to seeing you again. Shama Viola, if you would like to be in touch with Damanhur, it's Damanhur, damanhur.org, for her connection and many others.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-355-1493. 1-800-355-1493. That's 1-800-355-1493.
I'm Doug Steffen, welcoming in my friend Uri Geller at urigeller.com, U-R-I-G-E-L-L-E-R. Uri is a mystifier, a paranormalist, a motivator, mind master. I came across something, Uri, and I probably should spend more time talking to you about some of these things. Here is a motivation. The focus is on what we think and how it is that we are collectively what we think. If you feel loved, then it's because you think you're lovable. If you feel unloved or happy or unhappy, if you're attractive or unattractive, powerful, weak, whatever it is, whatever you impress on your mind, you will become what it is that you're thinking. And I wonder if you think most people kind of get that, and how important, how a powerful message that you send to your subconscious mind is going to reinforce who you are and how you are. I mean, that's something you have become a lifelong expert in.
Yes, Doug, I do believe in that, but I think it's not the only tool that we have to change, for instance, our characters, our personality. It's much more complicated and complex, because also your upbringing has a lot to do with it. Also, the people around you, your friends, the people who you work with, your attitude to things. I've learned to wake up in the morning, and every morning I put myself into an attitude of gratitude. And if I do that, I feel happier. So there are certain things that you have to absorb and learn from life itself in order to shift and move and churn and shape your mind to become a more positive, or to lead or live a more positive life. You know, things happen outside you or around you that are not totally under your control. So you cannot control if, let's say, one of the people that you really love falls sick and dies. You cannot control car accidents. You cannot control wars. You cannot control the little trivial things of, let's say, they fire you from work or you have no money. So it's just, I think the people who say, oh, if you will feel loved, you will be loved. Not that easy. But I think you can work at it. And you can start right now as we speak. You just say, 1, 2, 3, I'm going to start feeling positive about my life. And you then trigger the law of attraction. You start visualizing and you start imagining the things that you want to draw, you want to attract into your life. And I believe in that philosophy too, the law of attraction. It really works.
One of the things that I read in one of our trades, one of the radio trades, was about high performance achievers and how this particular fellow ran his first marathon. You know, the Boston Marathon was a week or so ago, and it's the most famous marathon in the world. A lot of them take place around the world, but this fellow used his subconscious to get him into the point where he had the strength or the endurance to run this marathon. I would think that that's really a psych. You talk about psyching people out. You're going to run 26 miles, especially the weather here was awful that day, and yet people, they went happily along. It's a huge goal, and I think we all have goals, whether they're really big or not. I think maybe this is an example of somebody making up their mind to do something, but can't this be applied to everyday life?
Yeah, of course. Psyching up yourself, psyching up your other people, motivating them, inspiring them. You become a motivator. Look at, you know, I met lots of sports individuals, very famous ones like Muhammad Ali. Well, Muhammad Ali would psych himself up to beat his opponent. He would use visualization. He would imagine himself knocking out the boxer he was boxing. Even Formula One drivers who sit in cars and they just hold the steering wheel and drive as fast as they can to win. Even they can psych themselves up to sharpen those elements in your mind, body, and soul that can excel you. Yeah, I'm a huge believer in that, Doug.
Well, you have to believe. We all have to believe in something, because if we didn't, whether it's believe in ourselves or believe in a higher power or whatever it is, I think this, in this circumstance, talking about the marathon runner, the most important thing to come away with there, and maybe this applies to almost anything, isn't what you're willing to do to win in a race like this, but what you're willing to give up. Because the time that it takes to practice running something like this, or to be anything, the opera singers that are stars or people who perform, and the amount of work that it takes is grueling. It requires that you give up something else in order to spend the time for that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. And, you know, since you're talking about excelling your life into something positive and winning, even look at the business world. If you ask 1,000 businessmen who made it big time, who are very wealthy today, if you ask them, did you ever think that you will ever reach such wealth? Most of them will say, yeah, since I was a child, I wanted to be a successful businessman. So when I said it depends on your childhood, it depends on how your parents deal with you when you're growing, when your mind is developing. All those things are elements for success. I always say, you know, Doug, I look at myself and I've learned, at least from my profession, from my trait, is that the secret of success is originality. I'll repeat that again. The secret of success is originality. Mm-hmm. If you can come up with something revolutionary, something original, then you're bound to be successful. And there's nothing that you cannot be, do, or have. If you can go there with your mind, you can go there with your body. Whatever you can visualize, Doug, you can materialize, because we are all the architects of our own lives. So it's really up to you. It's really in your hands. And, you know, you are a great living example yourself, Doug.
Well, I think there is some. I walked around my farm yesterday. I was thinking how thankful I was to have it and how much I desire to protect it. And it's a lot of work, but I have felt that it was worthwhile because it's a special place and it needs to be handled differently than most other pieces of land. It isn't just a piece of land. It's something spiritually very exciting about the place. It's a very powerful place. And I think if you tell people that story and they agree with you, all the extra help, like I tell you that now, and you'll put your thoughts to me being able to save the farm, and I know you will, and that all of these things, the thoughts that we all think individually become a collective, is like a storm, and it is very powerful. So you've again given us a good lesson. I don't want to overdo to wear out the marathon metaphor, but it really is a pretty good one, and so are the examples that you gave. So thank you for motivating us, Uri. Go to Uri's website to find out more about what's going on with him and how he can help you. URIGELLER.com, UriGeller.com. All right, back to our conversation here on Your Hidden Power. Mary O'Malley is our psychic scout, and her website is psychicscout.com. Pretty much it is the way it sounds. Mary has a gift as well. One of the things that the people who are on this program have gifts, but the people who listen to this program have gifts. And one of the things that you help bring out in people, their best. That's how I find that to be, anyway. My key to being interested in you is the wisdom that you have. And I wonder how often you check in with yourself, Mary, and maybe you can explain. Yeah. You know what I mean by that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how often do you check in with yourself?
Well, it depends. I should be doing it all the time, and I do it quite a lot. But for sure, before I work with someone, and for myself, you know, we usually don't know that we need to check in unless we're in some kind of pain. You know, that things are going strangely, so... You know, I'll check in then and say, hey, what's up? I'm not a serious meditator, but mm-hmm. I tend to check in several times throughout the day. You know, a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there. And it does make a difference. It keeps me grounded and it helps me make decisions, you know.
Is it about pain? Is that the people who come to see you, who set up appointments, who want to learn more, is it strictly usually out of pain?
In a lot of ways, yes. Because you know, pain is a signifier. It tells us something is wrong or something needs to be paid attention to. So it could be physical pain, you know, which is obvious, but sometimes it's emotional pain. We just don't feel right. We just don't feel good. And that's when that's a signifier for us to check in and say, hey, what's going on? So I'd say, yeah, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, there's something going on with the person that's causing them to pick up the phone and check in and say, hey, what's up?
Well, I think there's something that goes further than that. It has to do with trust, I think. I think that people who live their life trusting others, people come to you because they trust you, or they'll come to you the first time because they need help, but then they come back to you because they trust you. You're supportive. And that's really, in relationships in general, they have to be built on trust, do they not? You'd have nothing if people didn't trust you.
That's true. That's true. And I'm very adamant that, you know, I will relay what Spirit has to say. I won't sugarcoat it. I won't, you know, I don't just shoot from the hip and try to tell you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that what you're hearing is, you know, uncomfortable, then I walk it all the way through. You know, is that something you think you can do? Is it, you know, what happens next? And that's where some of my other modalities and skills come in.
Like, for example, give us other modalities and skills.
Well, I do hypnosis. Sometimes it's a matter of changing the habit pattern. And just talking, you know, what is your fear? That's always a big question. What are you afraid of, or what are you afraid of losing? And so once we kind of get down to the core of that, and 7 or 8 times out of 10, once that fear is exposed, it disappears. Sometimes it needs a little more work, but that's the only thing that stops us is our own fear.
Mm-hmm. You were listening probably to the conversation I had with the lady from Damanhur about past lives. You regress people into past lives. Do you find that it needs to be sometimes more in depth and people ought to pay more attention to their past lives to help them in this life?
Sometimes. Everyone's a little different, but for a lot of people, it's clear it's something from a past life, and they even feel it. They, you know, on some level understand that. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, but a lot of people, you know, it doesn't hurt to take a look. And I do it psychically also.
Yeah, no, I think you need to take a look. I think when you believe there's a reason for everything, you use all kinds of different things that are available in the universe to help things come out the right way. Joining us now is the lady that I have placed much trust in over recent years, Maria Francesca Trilogy at smbworks at earthling.net. Who is the best astrologer. I've been around a lot of them, and she is the best in terms of using the information intuitively, helping people understand what's going on in their lives. So I wanted to go through the wedding chart of the betrothed, the royal wedding's astrological chart.
Yeah.
Meghan and Prince Harry, what do they bring to their union?
Okay, so first of all, we have to realize it's a man and a woman. So we want to look at the feminine and the masculine, and then putting them together, they are astrological next door neighbors.
Really?
So she is a Leo, and he is a Virgo, and that signs right next to each other. So when we have those kinds of alliances, what's so critical and important, it's sort of their friendship. Now, they are very different characters, or I wouldn't say characters in that way, but characteristics. He is very earthy. He's a very, we always talk about sun, moon, and rising. His are all in Virgo, Taurus, and Capricorn.
Which means what?
So, which means he's, you know, Mr. Stable, Mr. Responsible. Not a lot of, I know he shows off like he's a partier, but he's pretty, I won't say boring.
Stable.
Compared, yes.
Stable. He's stable, yeah.
But compared to her, Meghan, who is quite the, not wild, but flash and fire and passion, She is a Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And her moon is in Libra. And so she's all about harmony and peace and joy and happiness.
But if she's a Leo, a feminine lion, she wants not to be caged. She wants not to be, learn this, it's like I'm a studier of that sign.
She is going to run the show.
Yeah. She wants to be number one, and that's okay. He has to recognize that.
Yes, especially in that position. And I think he will be happy to recognize it. He is someone who has pretty much, other than, you know, of late, of course, coming into his own, pretty much followed the rules, you know. And what's interesting is she has, her rising sign is Cancer, which is the same sign as Harry's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Diana. Mrs. Di was a Cancer, Diane. And she was born, Megan was born on August 4th, which is the same day as the Queen Mother. Not the Queen we have now, but the Queen Mother.
Right.
So there's some very, as I've always said, and when we get down to it, you will always find strong astrological connections, even beyond these two people, that somehow attract them and bring them together. So it is going to be an interesting combination, an interesting alliance, an interesting marriage, if the two of them can remain friends in the bottom line of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they will. You can see that there's a possibility here of, as they mature, of a friendship continuing to grow. And that's what we want. And that's in any relationship, is open communication and friendship. So we'll see how it goes. I'm only hoping he can keep up with her.
Well, that's it. I think that's part of it, is keeping his sign. What's his moon again? Where is his moon?
Yeah, his moon is in Taurus.
And his rising sign is what?
Moon in Taurus and rising is Capricorn. That's all three of the earth signs. And she has no earth.
None.
So he kind of grounds her.
Yeah, it's an interesting combination of things. And again, I point this out because I think this is the best way for people to learn about their special features and to learn how to stay friends and be together if that's your desire. So if you want help in that department, go to smbworks@earthlink.net for Maria Francesca Trilogy, and her help is a fabulous astrologer.